The hotline, our good buddy Alan Bell, managing editor, NFL coverage for 24/7 Sports, joining us. Alan, hope you've had a great week to this point, and as always, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, buddy. I appreciate it.
Hey, just like we talked about on Monday's show, the Thursday night game to start off this week, it's a nice tone setter as we were looking at this matchup with Seattle at home taking on Green Bay. Both of these teams needed the win to keep their playoff hopes alive and keep them on the right path, and it was Seattle prevailing by a field goal at home last night.
Yeah, they did. You know, and got to say one thing, you know, for all – you know, the last 2 years or so, all the just terrible Thursday night games that we've had, this year has been phenomenal. I mean, they've really done a good job. That was a great game last night. Like you said, both teams, it's kind of a must win because they're both going for the same thing, and that's that 5 and 6 spot wild card in the playoffs. Seattle obviously won the game, you know, took control there at the end. They've got a very underrated offensive line and rush game. They can run the ball really, really well. As for the Packers, man, it's just a brutal loss. And you know what? I mean, you know, we all know, we've talked about Mike McCarthy, and that era is probably coming to an end, and last night was really the start of it. The tough part is this, is that, you know, you look at it, you know, that 4th and 2 play, right? And I get it. You know, you should go for it. You got Aaron Rodgers. It's just amazing to me that not only that, but you know, being Mike McCarthy, like, you're not dumb. Like, you know that your job is on the line. You know that the season's on the line to make the playoffs. Like, you've got to have a bigger sense of urgency. It really surprised me there. It was almost like he's just kind of living in his own world, and he doesn't get what everyone else is seeing. And, again, not to question a head coach, but, you know, look at Aaron Jones, their running back. You know, we talked about all year about how good this guy is, averaging 6.1 yards a carry. And they finally start giving him the ball, and he gets better. It's just, it's amazing. And we're going to look back at this era with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers and just wonder, how did Aaron Rodgers not have 3 Super Bowl rings?
I go back to, well, first of all, they can't recover an onside kick, and it should have been Green Bay playing for in the Super Bowl instead of Seattle that second go-around. And then you go back to earlier this year, knowing that Ty Montgomery was pouting on the sidelines and throwing temper tantrums, why is he even anywhere near the opportunity to return a kickoff there with Green Bay? All they have to do is get in field goal range to win a game that they're trailing by 2 against the Rams. And so, no, to me, and that starts with coaching.
It does. I mean, you're exactly right. Like, it's just so strange because, again, like, I'm not putting myself in the position, you know, saying, like, oh, you know, I know more than an NFL head coach. I don't, man. Like, that's a hard job. I get it. However, these decisions aren't difficult. Like, it's not the hard things that's getting the Green Bay Packers. It's little things. Things like that. Like, it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to see all year that Aaron Jones can play, and especially on a team that is not only one devoid of talent for Aaron Rodgers, but two, you look at last night, I mean, they've been hurt the last 2 games. Randall Cobb has been out. Jordy Nelson is gone. His first touchdown pass went to a 4th-string tight end, which that was his first reception ever in the NFL, which is great, by the way. It's going to be a good story. But, like, it's not the difficult decisions that have been getting them. It's the easy ones. It's just so strange. But I'll say this, you know, the Packers' job, when he ultimately is fired at the end of this year, the Packers' job, that's a job that doesn't come open often. So I'm really interested to see how the new GM handles that and all the people that are interested because, again, I mean, it's the Green Bay Packers. I mean, that's a storied franchise. It's going to be really interesting to watch.
Here we are, week 11, and yeah, we got one clunker for the weekend with Arizona at 2-7 hosting Oakland 1-8. You might want to throw in the Giants at 2-7 hosting the Tampa Bay Bucks at 3-6. But there's, you know, a couple of games, actually 3 for that matter, involving teams where they're either 5-4 or 4-5, and very much in the thick of things as far as playoff hunts on both the AFC side and the NFC side. Starting with the NFC, you've got Atlanta at 4-5 hosting a 4-5 Dallas team. You know, it's, first of all, it's not out of the realm of possibility if Houston takes care of business against Washington on Sunday, and then on the short week, Dallas is playing Washington on Thanksgiving Day. That's why this Cowboys contest in Atlanta is so important on Sunday. And then other side of that, it's not like Atlanta's eliminated. If a win over the Cowboys at 5-5, anything can happen over their last 6 games.
Yeah, it definitely can. I mean, it's funny to, you know, to watch. I love how the NFL season goes, because once you get to about week nine, you start getting into this kind of must-win territory, and the Dallas Cowboys the last 2 weeks have been in that. And yeah, they're still in a must-win mode because you're right, they just don't have much of a margin of error. But you look at Atlanta, Atlanta absolutely has to win this game because, you're right, if they win, they stay in a race. I mean, the NFC South could ultimately put three teams in the playoffs. It's that good. However, if they don't win, they're pretty much done. It's just going to be hard because the NFC is so talented all around. Dallas, I'm really interested to see what they do because, not only is it a must win, but how do they respond? Do they rise to the level again? Do they rise to the challenge? And Jason Garrett, I'm not saying he can save his job. However, let's see some gumption out of it, right? You talked about Houston and Washington. Those are both monster games for those two teams. Does Houston's winning streak continue? How good is this team? Or have we been underrating them all year? And, Washington's in the same boat Dallas is that, this division is winnable for three teams, so they've got to keep winning to stay in it. This is going to be a good weekend. And not to mention, don't count out this Titans-Colts game. I mean, that's a monster game.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, so.
Well, I didn't mean to jump ahead of you, but you're right. Your overall point is correct, is that this is a good weekend. It's an underrated weekend. People might look and say, that's some odd games. No, it's going to be a really good one.
Well, and I liked, with Atlanta and Dallas, the momentum of both these teams are going into this matchup, and same thing applies to Tennessee and Indianapolis. Not the case with Baltimore at 4-5 hosting the 5-4 Cincinnati Bengals. Both of these teams need a win, and I was going to say we assume that one of these teams will get one, although it could end in a tie. But both of these teams are so banged up right now, even if you get the win. Now, the Bengals certainly with a win at going to 6-4, I mean, that is huge because right now they do have a tiebreaker over the Titans because of their, conference record, and this would be an additional win in conference play. But at the same time, Baltimore, after that great start, the way they looked against the Titans, shutting them out here in Nashville, I mean, obviously, we're looking at who's going to be the next coach of Baltimore in 2019. I don't know what to say about this game. I don't know which direction. I mean, we don't even know who's starting at quarterback for Baltimore. Is it going to be RG3? You've got the choices now, but nobody is like, it could be an RG3 sighting on Sunday.
It definitely could. I mean, you're right. This game is tough because, first off, it's just odd to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals being a playoff team. And you're right, they're the number six slot right now. And the crazy thing is this, is that not only are they a playoff team right now, they just fired the defensive coordinator because they're on pace to have the worst single season in NFL history for total yards given up and pass yards given up. Their defense is playing atrocious football, but they've been playing really well on the offensive side of the ball. They're scoring points, so you just don't know what's going to happen. And then you look at Baltimore, like you said, Joe Flacco is doubtful. He was ruled doubtful today with a hip injury. Baltimore has so many just questions on the table. You could tree branch this. One, you're right with John Harbaugh, especially after a great start. Are they falling apart? But two, you look at Joe Flacco. He's not been happy ever since the day that Lamar Jackson was drafted, right? So then you look at Flacco and you say, all right, he's got a hip injury. It might be Lamar Jackson who starts. It might be RG3. It might be a combination of the two. Joe Flacco's a pretty prideful guy, and he does not want to give up his job. And I know one thing is that it doesn't matter if it's the NFL, if it's my job, your job, anybody's job on the planet. When you're fighting for your job and the person directly that's threatening to take it is right there, the last thing that you want to do is give him an opportunity to take it. So I wouldn't be surprised, no matter what, if Joe Flacco comes out Sunday and, is like, I'm starting this game, no matter how injured his hip is, because he knows what's on the line. If Lamar Jackson, say he comes out and just balls out, has a great game, well, now you can't take him out because you're on a winning streak, right? You just beat the Cincinnati Bengals, who are in your division, and you're playing, seemingly good enough, right? So it's just so many interesting little, spider webs that are going on in this game. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm definitely excited to watch it.
Houston 6-3 taking on the 6-3 Washington Redskins. Redskins atop the NFC East. Same thing with the Texans being atop the AFC South. Something has to give, and certainly, I love the play and what Deshaun Watson has been able to do. I saw this stat earlier this week from ESPN.com, and I had to throw it out there. There's been only three quarterbacks in 16 games that that they played in the NFL where they've passed for 35 touchdowns or more. Deshaun Watson, who just played his 16th game, is one of them. The other two, Dan Marino, Kurt Warner. And last time I checked, both of those individuals are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, Deshaun Watson is such a good quarterback. Like, if he didn't get hurt last year, you know, think about if he would have finished the year at just somewhat of a pace, the crazy pace that he was doing, to have that and then Patrick Mahomes this year. I mean, it's, the NFL's in a really good spot for young QBs. And the good thing, you know, for Texans fans about that team is that Deshaun Watson doesn't have to put up crazy stats, right? Like, you know, he'll put up 2-3 touchdowns in a game, but it's not like he has to throw for 420 yards. You know, there's some games where he'll throw for 191, right? But he just doesn't turn the ball over, and that's really Houston's big thing. If they don't turn the ball over, they're a tough team to beat. Washington is, they are the epitome of your average, standard, pretty decent team. I read a stat earlier this week, and I wish I remember who had it first, that Washington hasn't had a lead change in a single game this entire season. Every single game that they've won, they've jumped out ahead and haven't been behind. And every single game that they've lost, they've trailed the entire game. They're crazy right at that, you know, medium line.
That doesn't happen in the NFL, by the way.
Ever. Like, it's crazy. Like, it, you know, it's just an, you know, a statistical anomaly. Like, it can't happen in any sport, right? So, I mean, you're right. Something has to give. I'm just interested. See, like, is Houston really for real? Because we know the defense is good. They can score points. They're on, what, a six-game winning streak right now? If they start, you know, get to seven, get to eight, start rolling, I mean, it's just going to be tough to catch them. I mean, you can't, like, if they keep winning. But they're just an interesting team. And you look at every year, you know, Bill O'Brien is, you know, either getting heavily praised or everyone wants him gone. And the season is setting up for either a great finish or a horrific finish, and I'm interested to see either way how it goes down.
Well, and plus the Houston Texans coming off the bye week, they're going to be well-rested and ready to go against the Redskins. How about the fact that here we are, the Jaguars playing their 10th game, and I, the best way to describe it, if they lose to Pittsburgh, which I think they will do on Sunday with the 6-2-1 Steelers coming to town, to me the Jaguars are one more nail away from their coffin being shut for this season. I mean, they'll be, you know, with a loss, they're going to be 3-7, and I don't know how many folks had that or saw that coming.
Nobody did. I'll say this. Yeah, if they lose to Pittsburgh, I mean, they're done. They're pretty much, they pretty much have to win out, right, and hope for just chaos in the AFC South, but I don't see it. And the tough part for them is this, is that you've got two factors playing against Jacksonville with Pittsburgh. One, Jalen Ramsey ran his mouth, you know, in the offseason, you know, saying that Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't very good. It's all because of Antonio Brown. And I'll tell you this, Ben Roethlisberger's, he's got a lot of Tom Brady in him, too. He remembers these things, and he wants to kind of shove it right back down your throat. And two, you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, not only are they rolling right now, their offense is playing crazy good, but they remember, you know, Jacksonville's the team that put them out. Jacksonville's beat them, I think, the last two times, and especially in meaningful games. I mean, Pittsburgh does not forget this. And Mike Tomlin, he's got this team in the perfect position, exactly where he wants them. They're hungry. They're just looking week to week. They're not looking ahead, and they're just winning ball games. So I wouldn't be surprised if Pittsburgh gets up on Jacksonville. They might start running up the score, you know, pretty similar to what we saw against Carolina, because this team remembers, and Ben Roethlisberger is not going to take his foot off the gas pedal, and he's not afraid to throw right at Jalen Ramsey.
How about the fact that, depending on how things play out between Chargers hosting Denver and then Kansas City going up against the Rams on the road, and right now the way this plays out, you know, Chargers are favored, the Rams are favored to beat the Chiefs. Through 10 games, we could be talking about a tie at the top of the AFC West between Kansas City and the Chargers. You could probably start making the argument at that point that the Chargers certainly needs to be considered as the best team. You could make the conversation best team in the AFC along with Kansas City, but because it's Phillip Rivers, because they're playing out in the West Coast, I think they really have to show it in the playoffs before we ever give them that.
Yeah, they definitely do. You know, and the hard part is this. It's crazy to think that in 2018, almost 2019, like because you play out west that, you know, people see you, but they just, you just kind of get forgotten, right?
Right.
And it's crazy, you know, because we see everything. But this team is that good. I mean, this team is that good. And I compare them a lot to the Carolina Panthers, is that, you know, they're a step behind in the win-loss record of the Kansas City Chiefs, the same way Carolina is with the New Orleans Saints. But don't count these boys out. Like, they're playing good football. And the scary thing for teams going against Los Angeles is that Joey Bosa, you know, we're going to have to practice for the first time yesterday. And if he comes back, that foot is healthy, and he finishes up here, I mean, he's an outstanding player. They're just going to get better. It would be really fun to watch, you know, an AFC West, you know, race come down between those two teams because they're just so good. And then, you know, you brought up the Monday night game. You know, it works out in the NFL's favor that Los Angeles is an emerging market. It's very important to them financially. And they were able to move the game, the biggest game of the year, from Mexico City to Los Angeles. Like, it works out well for them. And that game is just going to be fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just
going to
be.
Can I just say thank goodness that this game, and you can certainly make the argument, depending on the outcome, one of the top 5 or 10 games in the history of Monday Night Football. Can I just say thank goodness is being played in the U.S. and not in Mexico or London or anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely say that. I mean, this is, you know, America's game, and I get, you know, that they want to expand, and nobody has a problem against that, but, you know, this game is meant for here, right? Like, you know, the fans deserve to be able to see it. Rams fans deserve to be able to go. Chiefs fans deserve to be able to go. Not everybody can make the trip to Mexico City. It's tough. And nothing against them, but, I mean, I'm totally with you. Like, this is a game that should be played here, you know, in front of the fans that, you know, have waited, and especially for two fan bases that, you know, it hasn't always gone great for these two teams.
Wait,
you know what I mean? They're not the Patriots.
You say that nobody minds it or whatever. I know that when a city loses one of their home games, in this case the Rams were going to lose one of their home games for 2018, every time that a team loses a home game, when you think about tax dollars, when you think about, you know, the extra job, part-time job that somebody in that city is giving up one Sunday because a game's being moved to Mexico City or London or Toronto or wherever. Yeah, I have a problem with it, and I guarantee you there's millions out there, tens of millions of folks that have the same issues that I do.
Yeah, you're.
So I had to say that. I didn't want to just let that one slide by. That's, I didn't, you know, and don't get me on my soapbox on that one.
I like it, you know, when me and you are talking together, it's always, it's the honesty time, right? Like, we could just let it rip. Like, I never thought about that, you know, in terms of, like, a local economic impact, you know, the hundreds of people, you know, that just work game days, you know, ticket takers, you know, people that work concessions, and everything that goes into that, you know, local teams and sponsors and everything, you know, that play into that. You're exactly right. It's a great point. And you know, nothing against Mexico City. Awesome. You're going to get more games, don't worry. but yeah, I'm with you. You know, give the Rams fans a home game. You know, give it to them. They deserve it.
I'll put it in proper perspective. That's, you know, the money that they would have earned being able to work a game, home game, is enough to have a very nice Christmas dinner and or Thanksgiving dinner or both for a big family. That's the kind of money you're giving up. And so, yep. And so I'm glad this game is ending up in Los Angeles because of those reasons right there. But then, like I said, I'll get off my soapbox. All right, Alan, Tennessee, Indianapolis, 30 seconds. Who's going to win and why?
All right, so this game's going to come down to the Titans' offense. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to score 25 points or more, no question, because Indy is going to come to play. Andrew Luck is playing great football right now. He's protected. That offensive line has got him. So, you know, it's going to be limited opportunities to hit him. They're just going to, you know, receivers for Tennessee are just going to have to catch the ball. So if they can score more than 25 points, they've got a great shot because the defense is good, but they're just going to have to stay consistent. But the good thing is this, is that as this playoff push comes, you know, this is the time to prove that you are consistent. And if Tennessee does that, there are very few teams in the NFL that can run them out. They can win almost every game they play in.